What in the hell is going on here?
Crazy. Welcome to Drive Through HR. This is Brian William and Nisha coming to you live every day talking with the folks who love human resources. So, and definitely somebody that I always enjoy talking to. Let's get to her right now. Sarah Williams, welcome back to Drive Through HR.
Thank you guys for having me again. I appreciate it and I'm glad to be here.
You always have real deal stuff to share. I can remember our first conversation, and it's gotten bigger and better, and maybe a little crazier since then. You got a lot going on, so let's kick it off. Yeah, let's have you introduce yourself, and let's roll from there.
Great. I am Sarah Williams. I'm a human resources practitioner. I'm currently the director of human resources for a large restaurant franchise in Raleigh, North Carolina. I've been doing this for going on 15 years now, and I'm also a blogger and pretty active in the HR social space. My blog, The Buzz on HR, I post there. I try to post once a week. Sometimes it ends up being every other week, unfortunately. And then I'm also a contributor at PerformanceICreate.com with that wonderful group of folks, and I get to post there once, sometimes twice a month, and just an overall busy gal. That about sums it up.
Nice. What's top of mind for you these days? What's keeping you up at night?
We started talking about it in the pre-show, and I'm in the process of – I just scheduled myself, and I'm now fully committed to taking the SPHR exam in January 31st at 1 p.m. So I'm not a test taker, so I'm already kind of freaking out about the whole thing and trying to make sure I find time to study and pass this thing the first time out. So let the betting begin as to whether or not I'm gonna make it or not. I believe I will. And so, but that's the biggest thing that's going on outside of my normal craziness, you know, heading into 2014, just the normal planning of, all right, what are the things I want to accomplish next year? And so I'm kicking the year off with that.
What was the motivation, if you don't mind, to take the audience into why you have decided to take the hardest test in HR?
I have been running from the SPHR for probably at least 5 years, if not longer. I really, somewhere along the line, decided I have my master's and I don't need it, and it's just fine, primarily because I am an anxious test taker. It's just the truth. I still remember taking the SATs as a high schooler, and just the amount of studying and prep and everything that went into that. And I still didn't, and I didn't even do that great after all of that was over. Like, I didn't score as well as I feel like my intelligence should have made me score. And because I am so smart. And I can remember when I was considering going to law school at one point in time, and then the LSATs came up, and I went, oh, I ain't about that life, so let me go do something else. So here I am, you know, in this human resources career, and I'm finding myself in some instances here recently being turned down or looked over for opportunities because of my lack of certification. And when I was interviewing for the job I'm in now, one of the things that they were very on the fence with me about was the fact that I wasn't certified. It was almost a deal breaker. And I was very honest with them. I was like, it's not that I don't believe in its importance, it's that I'm not a good test taker, and so I really have just been avoiding it because I'm not a good test taker. And they're like, okay, we're going to need you to get that done within the first 2 years of you accepting this position. So I'm a year in, and time is ticking, so now is the time for me to get it done. I thought that I would be able to wait for things to slow down and create, you know, have more study time, and I just keep looking at my calendar, and there is no slowdown. There's no more, oh, look, here's a nice little lull in my life that I can squeeze in a massive standardized test. There's no time for that. So I just have to create the moment and get it done. So I'm going to power through it and make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. Well, it's, you know, first of all, there's a love-hate relationship that we all have with HRCI and the PHR, SPHR, GPHR, all the different, the test. The thing is to be a quote-unquote legitimate profession, you've got to have the, you know, your bachelor's, master's, PhD. You've got to have academia behind you. You've also got to have the certification board and test and things like that. So the fact that your employer, you know, brought it up in hiring kind of made you kind of, you know, feel the pressure of having it versus not having it. I actually think that's healthy. Personally, I was just speaking for William, I actually think that's healthy for the profession. I mean, we're losing some great HR people because there's some great HR people out there that have been in the biz, super knowledgeable, and real innovative leaders that have the same either test-taking or a lot of different things. I mean, it's a 5-hour test.
Mm-hmm.
You know, most people aren't built to take 5-hour tests. So, however, if you don't mind, take us into your prep. So now that you've agreed to do this bit, how are you going to succeed at it? Because the last thing you want to do, nothing personal, is you don't want to have to take this thing 5 times to pass it.
No, I don't. I'm trying to be the one and done kind of girl. I figure I go to enough conferences that if I pass it the first time out, I'll never have to do this shit again. And I'm trying to be that person. So I am, now that I have a test date, because that was my biggest thing, is that I didn't want to invest too much time into scheduling my study until I had a test date. So the first thing I did was I downloaded that whole body of knowledge thing that's on the HRCI website, and I started kind of reading through that and the logic behind the test, how it's broken down. And then I did the first pretest that they offered, and I scored horribly. Like, I did. I scored horribly, but considering that I had not cracked an HR book or, you know, really read it, I mean, I do this every day, and I know what I do, but the whys have kind of become fuzzy, and I have a staff now, so if I really want to know the whys, I'm like, hey, can somebody go find the law that says this? So I don't have that stuff fresh in my mind the way that I did anymore. So I was able to do fairly decent on the practice just based off of what I do every day. And then from there, I started talking to other folks, friends of mine who'd taken it in the summer and passed, and then friends of mine who I knew were going to be taking it in the winter. What are you guys doing? And so I started getting references on, you know, good things to use as study guides, websites to check out, folks to connect with, and I started doing a lot of that. And finally settled on a couple of books that I ended up purchasing, and then I have a lot of, like, PDF sort of materials that I got along the way. And I'm sure after this I'll get tons more, but I'm trying not to overwhelm myself with materials. Ultimately, I settled on that total test prep guide that comes highly recommended, and there are test prep exams inside of there that I'm using. And I bought 2 sets of flashcards that had come highly recommended that I got off of Amazon. And then I'm creating my own flashcards as I go, because I figure at a certain point it just becomes memorizing those kind of important facts, because the what do you do if scenario type of questions, I do that every day. So those things I can figure out. It's the when was this passed, when was this enacted, what is this called. It's those sorts of things that aren't front of mind for me. So I think that's, you know, that's my plan for how, whether it works or not, I'll let y'all know. But that's my plan for how I'm going to handle it. And I think it's a good one. with the amount of time that I have in between now and January 31st to get it all in, I think it's going to work. But there's nothing that I found has said this is the way to do it and get it done. Everything just says study a lot. There you go. The end. Period.
Yeah.
The end of discussion. Well, study a lot.
I tell you, the weaving the study thing in, it's been a couple of years since you've been out of grad school. You have family, you know, all of the chaos of work and all of that stuff. You've got to navigate all that stuff. I had to basically wait until the kids went to bed. So
yep.
My studying, basically, the kids, in our household, we had the kids go to bed 7:30 and 8, and they're done. And
okay.
Then after that, I from 8 to 12, you know, every night for about 3 months, I would do different things so that it didn't get boring. So, like, 1 week, I would just do nothing but reading, and I'd go, and I'd just read as much as I'd. And then the next week, I'd take practice tests. So that every week, you know, in those hours, I broke the study up. But I'll tell you that the hardest thing, and this, I had been out of grad school when I took the test. I'd been out of grad school a long time. So my last grad school class was 99. So it had been a while. Sitting in front of a computer monitor, taking a standardized test for 5 hours. Now, I sit in front of a computer all day long, so that part wasn't that you know. But you know, screwing around on Facebook versus you know taking a standardized test are you know two different things. So one of the things I would tell you is practicing that going and sitting at a table and taking that test for 5 hours. I practiced that a couple times in January as you kind of
mm-hmm.
roll up into the last minutes of the test prep. Practice just sitting there taking a test.
Yeah.
You know,
I can definitely agree with you because I had a hard time sitting still long enough to do the practice exams because I was like, I'm still sitting here. There are three more pages of questions. What the hell? Like, I'm so right now, and you know, social media doesn't help. So it's like turn everything off, and like you said, wait till the kids go to bed. But thank you for that because that's awesome advice. Because sitting, just the idea of having to sit still in that sort of environment with that kind of pressure for that period of time is a lot.
Well, I think you're doing a couple of things that are really wise. One is you're letting people know you're taking the test. I tell people when they take the PHR and the SPHR to tell people publicly, like create that public pressure because you will thrive. You're a competitor. You'll thrive based on that other people know that you're taking this test. So
mm-hmm.
that I think is actually really wise to let all your friends and your peers and your colleagues let them know, because that's going to drive you when you get to the Wednesday night and it's 9 o'clock and you could watch Scandal or you could you know read another chapter on a book, you'll remember all of that public pressure.
That's, yeah, and I'm still, but I'll be watching Scandal because that's just
no. You got to treat yourself.
Me.
No.
I got priorities.
No, trust me. I'm right there with you. No. Let me kid you. No, you got to watch that too. But the thing is you'll feed yourself. You'll find a way to give yourself a reward, but you'll also, because of that public, you'll also go and you know, commit yourself to studying. And no one can study for you.
Exactly.
That's the thing about any of those tests. As much as someone might love you, they can't take the test.
They can't do it for you. Yeah.
No.
Yeah,
what
and that's the
reward?
Biggest. The biggest
oh,
challenge for me is that I'm a person. I need downtime. I need recharge time. And so figuring out to make sure, like you mentioned Scandal, I laugh about that because my friends and I are like completely addicted, and we tweet and we text and we, you know, totally break down and analyze the show as if it's real week by week. And so I'm not going to lose that just because I have a test to take. And so how do I weave all of that in together with the demands of work, with the demands of home, with the downtime and the decompressed social time that I need and all of that together. And that daunting piece of it is what made me want to keep pushing it off to a time that made more sense. But the more I realize, the more I know there's not going to be a time for me anymore where it slows down enough for it to make sense for me. So I have to make the time to do it. And like you said, break it into pieces, give myself little rewards here and there, And then, you know, be honest enough with myself to say, you know, I just can't do it tonight, or I'm going to have to shift times around or whatever needs to happen. Did I lose you?
There we go. We're actually back. So, no, absolutely. That, well, you know, and appreciate sharing that, because there's, you know, one of the things that, you know, we've talked about several times, because we're a big, obviously, advocate. William's got his SPHR, and, you know, Nisha's working on some stuff for the certification, and we're huge fans of you know, HRCI, and we work with them, and we do a lot of stuff. So I'm excited. I'm excited that you've made the commitment, because I think you'll rock it. You're a great practitioner.
Thank you.
I love hearing kind of your perspective, and I mean, you've got all the stories, and you've been up and down, like, all the different the bodies of knowledge is what you do every single day. And so
yeah.
a lot of people that's the, you know, maybe have been in a company or environment around people that are like, you know, you really don't need it. So it's, you know, I think the other perspective of there's lots of reasons to take another look at that and see why maybe it is necessary or something you should, you know, give a really at least a good consideration to. So that's, it's nice. It's nice that you shared that. Let me do a quick reset. Everybody, you're listening to Drive Through HR. We are on with the wonderful Sarah Williams. So Sarah, kind of what's the current landscape? What's one of the things, you know, on the day-to-day practitioner side that is kind of top of mind, or you're working through, or had a big success, or it's a challenge? Share kind of something on that side of things.
For me right now, I'm a year into my new role, and so now I've kind of surveyed the landscape, had the opportunity to really get to know all of the players, and now it's really time for me to start setting vision and executing that, you know, as the person responsible for the HR function for our organization. So that's really on the practitioner side of me where my focus is right now. For the past, I'd say 4 to 6 months, I've really been focused on our hiring practices, how we hire better, hire faster, and how I, not being the person ultimately, because the hiring was really done at the restaurant level, so me not being the person ultimately responsible for that, how do I best equip and support our restaurant managers in making those decisions? That's been huge. We've made changes to our applicant tracking because we were still in paper application land until about a month ago when we finally switched to being completely online. And that was very tough for our managers to understand and embrace the idea that someone would come in and want to apply and you would give them a paper that referred, gave them instructions on how to get to a website instead of handing them an application. But there were the screening process and everything that goes along with them completing their application online just makes for a better quality of candidate on our end. So that's a huge win for me in my world, and I'm really excited for how that is going to work. And one of the struggles that we've had is communicating with the candidates because the system that we're currently using doesn't have a lot of ability to customize that. So we're looking into some other options there to give the person feedback about where they are in the process because we find that, one, our candidates really want the feedback. I think this idea that candidates are okay with their resume or their application disappearing into a hole and no news is good news, I think is crap. I think people want to know where they're at in the process. And if the answer is no, they want to know that it's no. And then the other piece of it, too, though, is being a retailer, being a restaurant, is if we tell that person no, what impact does it have on their willingness to patronize our business? If they have a bad candidate experience, it impacts whether or not they and the, will eat where we are and whether they'll recommend that to their friends and family. And so it's a tightrope that we have to work, and we're still figuring out how to walk that. And then you flip that over and teaching our managers how to interview better, and those sorts of things come into play as well. Everybody's on a different spectrum with their level of comfort with technology. So we have a lot of training that we have to do surrounding that, and then just helping them to be better at interviewing, asking questions, answering them, and knowing what those answers mean so that they make good selections for who they hire ultimately.
Sure. And so where do you feel it's been one of the biggest initial challenges to culturally get people? I mean, you got operators. I mean, anybody that's been in kind of the multi-unit world that you're in, it's heavy operations, right? Client-facing, mm-hmm. heavy operations, profit and loss. I mean, they live in that world. Yeah. And they hire for that world. They manage that world. That pretty much is it. And so in supporting that, what's kind of been the HR, the biggest HR challenge that you feel extra good about, maybe imparting the knowledge and maybe shifting the culture a little bit since you've been there with the operators in the field? Because at the end of the day, you can only do, you know, obviously you're one person, you've got people helping you, but everybody has to be HR knowledgeable, right?
Yeah. I feel good about, you know, I've been fortunate because I've always worked in the world where operations ruled the roost, and so I don't know another HR existence beyond that. I did production and manufacturing for a long time, and then I made the change into franchise retail multi-unit. And in both scenarios, operations reign supreme. So I don't know a world that doesn't look like that. High volume, high turnover, crazy problems, you know, that's the HR life I've always lived. So I learned very early on to speak operations, to talk in the language that lets them know that I get where they're coming from and that I'm trying to do things that are acting in their best interest. And I just don't allow myself to lose that. And I kind of hold the people accountable around me to speak that same language. It can't be just a win for us. It's got to be a win for everybody, and we have to be prepared to equip them and support them with the pieces that they're not familiar with or that they don't currently have. For us, in this particular instance, it made sense from every perspective possible to make the change because we were wasting tons of money in printing of applications, tons. And so just knowing that spending item is coming off of their P&L is like, yeah. So that's the first thing. The second thing is that you lose the ability to share candidates across restaurants with a paper application. They fill it out there. Unless you have some sort of, you know, special system in place to share that kind of stuff, it dies in the place where it began. And that person, and we might have a restaurant 2 miles up the road that they could very well be a great fit for that has need, but they just had the unfortunate timing of walking into one and not the other. The other issue that you run into is competition, because sometimes people will apply 5 places at once and they're interviewing with everybody. And then the next thing you know, I'm getting the call that says they all want this person, which for me always makes me look a little side-eye at the candidate, like you knew. you knew that they were all owned and operated by the same. They have their same brand. They were all owned and operated. Like, at some point in time, it would have been great for you to say that in the application process. But at the same time, you can't be mad at them for wanting to put themselves in the same, you know, in the best position possible to get a job. So figuring those sorts of things out go away in that sort of a scenario. It enables applicants to be able to apply with us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, even when we're not open. So all of those sorts of things were things that appealed to our operations team right away. And they're pretty HR savvy folks all on their own, you know, separate and apart from me and any of my efforts. They're a great team. So it was just working with them to figure out the best way to roll it out, the best time to roll it out, how we train our managers, and how do we market this so that acceptance is immediate. And I feel like, you know, we worked together very well to get that done, and it was embraced almost instantaneously. The biggest challenge that we had was marketing materials, because we didn't want to stop paper applications. And we call them web cards. They have like the little barcode on them that the person can scan. They can apply on their phone, or they can go home and, you know, go to the website. But the cost of, we didn't want the cost of printing that to end up being as much as printing paper applications. So that was probably the most difficult part, was designing and negotiating through that piece of it.
Well, and currently we're actually, William and Nisha and myself are in Dallas, Richardson, actually, for the Global People Report Global Best Practices Conference, which is very much hospitality, multi-unit restaurant focused. And so everybody listening, great conversation, because this is literally what we're talking about here this week with some of the leading, you know, all the way from the practitioner that's slugging it out, trying to make change and make things better for the operators, all the way to global CEOs who are trying to, you know, change and direct and improve, you know, an industry. And so follow the conversation, by the way. Hashtag is global BPC. You can see a lot of good stuff this week. So
I've been seeing the chatter about it on Twitter and on Facebook. I'm excited to watch what happens, because I know I'll glean some nuggets out of there. So it'll be good.
So you said so many interesting things. So did you guys build the business case around kind of what the transition from paper to, you know, to an online kind of application system? Did you guys do the business case on that, or was it kind of just the minutia of figuring it out once you were?
It was really the minutia. It was the minutia, because the team had already bought into it, and our parent brand was already had something in place that we could latch onto and customize and make that was fairly affordable. So that wasn't the big thing. It was the minutia of it. It was, how do we do this? And without having they were without a director for quite a while before I came into place, just wanting to make sure that they found the right person and someone that was going to really stick and push forward the initiatives that they wanted. So it was really about me having enough time to figure out the business and my role and get it to a place where I felt comfortable that we could get this program through successfully, more so than convincing anyone that it was a necessary thing. At the senior level, you know, our operations leaders on up, the buy-in was already there. So it was making sure that we were coming out as a united front and taking a really no excuses attitude to the restaurants when we rolled it out to them. Because if you give them room to do something different or negotiate in another direction, you're screwed. So it had to be that united front, it will happen now, it will happen this way approach to it. And once we found the right timing for that, then we were good to go.
Well, that is perfect. Well, Sarah, time always flies with you, and we are out of time. So tell us where... I know, it's you know what, it is lightning. We were catching lightning, we caught it, and man, it went fast. So
let it go, that's great.
Where can people connect with you? And we are pretty much out of time.
You can always follow me on Twitter at TheBuzzOnHR, Facebook at TheBuzzOnHR. You can read my blog at TheBuzzOnHR.com. And check me and all the great contributors out at Performance I Create, and all of my contact information from there is in any one of those places. Thank you guys so much again for having me.
Everybody, make sure and show Sarah some love. She is a fantastic part of both the social HR and HR community. Absolutely best of luck on the SPHR. I think I've got the overs on that one. I'm going to go all in that you will crush it. So I'm betting.
Thank you.
I'm betting for you. I'm betting for you on this one. So,
I appreciate it.
Make sure and follow. And folks, make sure you follow the hashtag for Global BPC, and we're out of here.